If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. We are, what, 10 days away from the most heavily bet game of the year, Super Bowl 50 in Santa Clara, California. We will get you all set with some of the early Super Bowl odds. Steve Fezzik, my co-host, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter, and thepregame.com extraordinaire, the only two-time winner of the Super Bowl professional football betting, already all over it, getting in on that early Panthers-Broncos line last week. We'll talk about that as we move along. Obviously, we're going to recap what happened in the conference championship games and all the props, all the ways you should be looking at all the different ways you can make Super Bowl Sunday a little bit more interesting. My name is Ross Tucker. I played 7 years in the NFL for a bunch of different teams. It's my second year, I guess, in the gambling sphere, placing wagers here on the podcast with units. Had a really good regular season. The playoffs have not been as good, but Steve is picking up the slack on the playoffs thus far. Steve, you ready to rock and roll?
I am ready to do it. And Ross, I just want to mention, so often as a professional gambler, we get pushed into the background versus the mainstream media, and I am just humbled and so happy to have been a part of this with you, and it's just been a great project.
Yeah, it's been awesome, and I've really enjoyed it. I know the listeners, we've got a very loyal group of listeners, because I know on Thursdays when we haven't posted yet or if we have to change the schedule, I start getting the tweets at Ross Tucker NFL. Is Even Money coming out? Is Even Money coming out? When's Even Money coming out? So we've got a loyal group of listeners, and we'd like to grow that. You know, this is our second to last podcast this year, so next week will be our last one. We'd like to keep growing it and do it in the next off season. So if anybody has any advertising ideas or would like to advertise on the podcast, just send me an email, ross@rostucker.com. If you ever have specific questions, like we have one today, you can email me as well, ross@rostucker.com. I guess I didn't really need to say my email address twice there, but I did anyway. I'm being authoritative, I guess. Please spread the word via social media or blogs, message boards, however you can tell people about the Even Money Podcast. That helps us out and helps ensure that hopefully we'll be back again next year. Let's start, Steve, with the AFC Championship game. I put one unit on New England. You were leaning New England, but you passed the game. New England was giving 3 points. I obviously lost on that one unit. We both did a prop that I thought was a pretty good prop. It was your idea. I went along with it. Peyton Manning to throw an interception. It did not happen. So we both lost 1.55 units on that one, Steve. It did not come through.
And it was a bad handicap. He played a clean game, and kudos to him. Wasn't like we had multiple chances to get one. I think it was just the wrong side bet.
Agreed. It's not like there were a bunch of dropped opportunities by the Patriots. So you're right. Kudos to Peyton. I tended to agree with you. I thought that they would do a better job of taking away the middle of the field, not being able to run the ball, throw the ball to the outside, but he took care of the football. Arizona, Carolina was laying 3 points. We both took the Panthers. It was our only best bet of the weekend, and we both won one unit. You also, Steve, put two units on the over, which you nailed. Carolina did it themselves, 49-15. I did not see that coming, so you got three big units on that one, although you did lose the Atlanta or the Arizona plus half a point, one unit in the first quarter. Yet I forget how you worded that one.
Right, I knew the Arizona was going to get the ball because Arians always takes the ball and Rivera always defers and went ahead and used that information. But you know what, Ross? It doesn't really matter when you get beat 49-7 or whatever it was, what quarter you bet.
Yeah, I think you're right. They just got smoked. So overall, for the weekend, as you take a look at it, you were up 0.45 units. I was down 1.55 units. And overall in the playoffs so far, Steve, you're up 5.45 units, and I unfortunately am down 2.55 units. So I got to find a way next week with the Super Bowl. I got to find something to be able to get back at least in the black for the postseason after I was up a whopping 28 or 29 units. I forget, 28 or 29 units in the regular season. Before we get to some of the prop bets, some of the early stuff on the Super Bowl, Steve, I did want to make sure everybody knows for the second to last time about BetDSI.com. I mean, these guys have been a tremendous supporter of the Even Money podcast. They've also been a supporter of you guys, giving you guys $10 free if you use the code Tucker10 or Draft10 over there at BetDSI.com. They've been around 16 years, one of the original online sports books, all that stuff. So you know it's not some fly-by-night operation. Plus, like I said, you know, you get the free $10 with either using the code Tucker10, Draft10. If you don't want to do it for the Super Bowl, you know, obviously they got NBA, college hoops, whatever. Steve, last week you took Carolina laying 1.5 against Denver in the NFC versus AFC futures bet. What is that line now?
The line is 5.5, and based upon some sports books directors I've spoken to, they're still waiting for someone to walk up to the window and make any kind of substantial bet on Denver. It's been all Carolina, the public, the wise guys, everyone is betting Carolina.
Wow. So then how does that, I mean, that's really interesting. So how good do you feel about getting an extra 4 points already?
I feel very good, but you know, that's what we're supposed to do, and is to try to spot numbers that are off early in the week and fire away and get the best of it. And then the question becomes at some point, like someone might see me walk up and bet Denver +6. And they're like, I thought you liked Carolina. And I'll tell them I liked Carolina. Now that it's 6, I'm starting to lean towards Denver. And I know I'm not supposed to do that in the business that I'm in, Ross. I'm not supposed to give out both sides, but the truth is like, to use an NBA example, last night I bet Golden State -15. I nibbled a little on Dallas +18.5, right at post. The number oftentimes shows where the value is, just like being a day trader. I'll buy at 14 and I'll sell at 18.5. I'll buy at 1.5 and I'll sell at 6.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what does that mean for the books that everybody's betting Carolina? I mean, what happens then if Carolina wins by 2 touchdowns?
It's no big deal because the limits on these books are so small, and they write early on and they write so much action. 80% of the money, I've been told, comes in the last 2 days for the Super Bowl. So yeah, they might have gotten $20,000 in money and it was all on Carolina, but now they're going to write $2 million from this point on. So it really doesn't matter because all the big money that comes in later will dwarf the few early bets.
Right. But my point is, if everybody's putting all the money on Carolina, they've yet to have anybody bet Denver, then at what point is the shop in trouble if Carolina wins then? If everybody's betting Carolina.
Well, they're going to lose. Let's say they Carolina wins by 14 points. They're going to lose that $20,000, but that won't really matter. I mean, you look at what they'll make on a Super Bowl. They just got to be sure that when the limits go up and the really big bets come in, that they stay balanced. And because of that, it wouldn't surprise me, Ross, for a few books to pop up +6 just to start getting people to bet back the other side. But you got to be careful because if you put up 6.5 and you start taking lots of big Denver bets, Carolina could win by 6. And now you're paying everybody, and that's something you don't want to do. This was documented. It was called Black Sunday years and years ago. It was a Dallas-Pittsburgh Super Bowl. It opened Pittsburgh minus 1.5 to 2, quickly to 3, all the money on Pittsburgh. It goes up to 4. It ticks to 4.5 on game day. Everyone bets the dog then. The pros do, plus 4.5. 35-31, that was the Jackie, gosh, I can't remember his last name, drops the touchdown pass in the end zone for the Cowboys. Black Sunday in Vegas. Vegas lost millions.
Yeah, Jackie Smith.
Yeah.
They actually did a feature on him I was reading recently. Interesting. Well, what about any other prop bets or early bets you're looking at as it relates to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, one bet that I always make, Ross, is that it's a game of such huge magnitude that both teams tend to play extremely conservative and close to the vest early. So I always look to play first half under. I played first half under 23 for 2 units. That's one of my plays we can lock in right now. Just because it's human nature when you have a game this important. Even when the Patriots played last year against Seattle, the game started out very, very slowly. There was a Carolina Patriot game, what was that, 32-29, and nobody scored in the first quarter, I think. It's just very normal for these games to start very slow, and oftentimes they just blow up in the second half. So it's much safer, in my opinion, to play the first half under than the game under, especially with a team like Denver, which is going to be challenged to score but has a great defense.
Interesting. All right. So that's something that you do pretty regularly?
Almost every Super Bowl, I'll go ahead and play that, and I always advocate with all these books putting up in running lines, live wagering, you can bet after every timeout. If you like the over, I would wait for the first quarter to end and then fire in a bet on the over, because more often than not, you get a low-scoring first quarter.
What else are you looking at already Super Bowl-wise?
You know, one caution I give folks is everyone wants to make a killing on the Super Bowl, and they want to have fun. So they want to bet on who's going to score first, the player. What long shot stuff can we do? Can we predict the exact final score? Can we predict exactly how many points each team scores? But the problem is that the household on all those bets is higher than playing a Keno game. That's where the books really clean up. So I would caution everyone that most of the bets that you make that have big plus money, the extreme example I'll give is every year the public bets, yes, the game will go into overtime, and it pays about, it really depends where you shop it, but anywhere from 8 to 1 in Vegas, it might pay 6 to 1. Well, we've had 49 Super Bowls. You know how many overtimes we've had, Ross?
None.
Correct. Bagel, donut, 0. 0-49. I tell you what, you got a 49-0 trend. That's one I want to ride. I've been betting that one for 20 years. Every Super Bowl minus 800, no overtime, and I'll have it in this Super Bowl as well. But no hurry. We'll let everyone else bet yes, and then we'll on Sunday morning we'll run around town and get the best number we can.
What's the limits on that usually?
Well, higher than I can ever bet because I'm laying minus 800. So even if I'm betting to win 1,000. Then I'll be putting 8,000 to win 1,000. One thing, if you like Denver in this game, and the true odds of the overtime probably are about 5-6%. So it's a really good overlay, a real big advantage play. But you could get crushed if the one year that it does go overtime. But I'll say this: if you can find Denver plus 6 or more, and you like the Broncos, let's say you're a big bettor and you're betting $2,000 on Denver, you may as well risk $2,000 on no overtime, because at that point you can't lose both. Because if Denver gets to overtime, they're going to cover the plus 6. So it dovetails nicely with a really big Denver bet if you can get Denver at plus 6 or more.
Are you surprised, Steve, that all the money's been on Carolina with the way Denver's defense played against the defending champion Patriots?
I'm not surprised, because my power ratings have the game at 4, Ross. So it's not that far off of my starting point with my power ratings. I've got Carolina 8 points better than an average team, Denver 4 points better. And I really think I do a lot of live wagering. So imagine if you watched Denver's last 16 playoff quarters. So you saw them get destroyed in the Super Bowl. Then you saw them get crushed by Indianapolis, where Indy sold out, put everyone 8 in the box, and Manning couldn't throw downfield. Then you watched a decimated Steeler team completely outplay them until their third-string running back coughed up the ball and the game. Pittsburgh was going to win. And then you saw one good quarter where they caught the Owen Daniels mismatch, went up 14-0, and then that great defense held on while the offense leaked oil, and they played a fine game. They won by two. You add up the body of work, and you say, wow, this team, I got major concerns. And if we go back to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, that Denver team was much better than this Denver team. That offense was really good 2 years ago. It's not right now. And who's better, Seattle back then or this Carolina team? I'm really not sure. So I've got a Carolina team every bit as good as that Seattle team, and I've got a worse Denver team. And I'm old enough to remember the debacles when Denver used to win at home in the playoffs in the tricked-up altitude at Mile High, and they'd go to the Super Bowl and just get destroyed. And I think a lot of the more recent bettors still remember that Super Bowl from 2 years ago, and there is no way in heck anyone who bet big on Denver in that Super Bowl is going to make another big bet on Peyton Manning.
Interesting. What about, Steve, some of the other, like the early Super Bowl odds, odds to win MVP, Cam Newton 5-7, Peyton Manning 11-4, Luke Kuechly 14-1, CJ Anderson 22-1. I know you typically don't like those bets. Actually, those are would you consider those needle in a haystack bets or not necessarily?
Yeah, like CJ Anderson 14-1 should be 100-1. The odds of him winning the MVP are 1%. It tops. The only one I would consider would be that with the year that Cam's had and being the MVP, if you're going to look to make one bet that's the least worse of them all, it would probably be for him to be the MVP, because if Carolina wins, I would say, gosh, probably 75% that they'll give the MVP to him. So that might be the least worst of them all, but they're all bad. And that's the house edge is just tremendous on all that stuff. And those are the ones I would love to apply for a Nevada gaming license and just book all the action on every one of those bets.
Interesting. All right. Are there any other advice moving forward? Any other tips for people, you know, a week ahead? We'll obviously dive into it more next week.
Sure. If you're going to bet props, I would look to play. If you like Carolina and you want to bet on props on Carolina, I would look to go ahead and bet them now. Let me give out one more because I'm sure it'll wind up moving. Who's going to get more first downs in the game? And I saw that it's up at least one book, Carolina -150. You can put me down for that one for two units because I'm confident that with everyone betting Carolina, they're going to bet first downs for Carolina minus the 150. They'll view that as being very, very cheap for a six-point favorite. So let's lock that one in for two units. I'm going to be forced as a pro bettor in Vegas. I'm going to get such bargains on Denver, Ross. I'm going to get Denver probably first half plus 3.5 even money. I'm going to get them second quarter plus 3. There's going to be some bets I'm just going to be forced to make on Denver, even though I feel like Carolina's probably going to win by 7 points. So I want to get some Carolina action in beforehand, like I did with the -1.5, so that when I make these Denver bets back, I'll probably wind up close to balanced on the Super Bowl. But I will say this, my gut says that Manning's going to have – he's played two clean games. I don't think he's going to play a clean game, and I really think Denver's in trouble in this game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, and I'm leaning that way as well. We do have a question. People can always send us a question. Send me an email question, ross@rostucker.com, like I mentioned earlier. The only problem is I didn't see it till after we recorded last week. It was late last week. It was a Tipsy Elves confirmation from Kyle Texter. So, Kyle, this probably doesn't help you now, but it's still an interesting question looking back on it. This was late last week he had emailed me, or maybe midway last week, but I didn't see it in time, Steve. Huge fan of the show. Listen every week. He didn't put even money in the subject line or anything, so I didn't know it was for this. My question is, I have Arizona at 33-1 to win the Super Bowl. So he had gotten Arizona 33-1 in February of last year. And he wanted to know what was the best way to hedge last week. Do I just take the money line on the Carolina side, or do I try and lay some other team win Super Bowl, you know, some X team win Super Bowl on the other three teams? And he wants to know, you know, thanks for all the work you guys put in the podcast. Kyle texted me, made an order to Tipsy Elves, and then forward that confirmation to me, ross@rostucker.com. And he also said, P.S., maybe I just let it ride. So what would you have done last week, Steve, if you had Arizona 33-1 to win it?
Yeah, Super you really Bowl. Don't want to, Ross, go ahead and start dabbling and betting all three of the other teams to win because the house edge, the vig, is so high on those. Kyle had the right idea where he was considering just betting the money line against Arizona, and that's the way I would have gone. Now, I wouldn't have hedged it completely. What happens is a lot of times folks say, oh, let me engineer in the final two games such that I don't care whether Arizona wins or not. Hey, you got the really good bet was the 33-1. Now, it doesn't seem that way now that they're out of the playoffs, but what I would do is, let's say you'd risked $100 on the really good bet. I would say, hey, let's make sure we at least double up from that great bet. So let's bet Carolina on the money line here in the Final Four and make sure, lay the $1.60, and I would have bet $320 to win $200. I would have locked in a profit, so at the end of the week, I would have been up $100 because I would have made $200 and would have lost my $100 on my 33-1 bet. If, for no other reason than psychological purposes, you get a really, really good bet and a future. And the right time to start hedging, in my opinion, would be when they make the Final Four, when there's two games left to go, and then I would start playing back. I wouldn't give away the whole position, but I would start playing back at that point in time. And I might add, and this is sobering for everyone who follows the Final Four, one of the worst bets that people make is they'll take a team like Providence. We just talked about this at pregame, where one of our experts recommended, I like Providence at 100-1. That's solid value. And it seems to logically make sense. And I told him, I'll give you 150-1 right now. And he looked at me like, are you crazy? There was a year that Izzo and Michigan State was a number two seed in the Final Four. If you had parlayed them six times, they would have paid 200-1 on the money line. So be careful with these long shot bets that look attractive. It's nice to see Carolina paid 60-1 before the season started, but those are so few and far between. It is almost impossible to find a really good futures bet, but your man Kyle found it. Arizona 33-1 was a really good bet.
Got it. All right. Well, that'll do it. Good work there, Steve. Any more email questions, just forward to me, ross@rostucker.com, with one of our sponsors like BetDSI, where you put in the code Tucker10 or Draft10 for the free $10. We will be back next week for the granddaddy of them all from a betting perspective. Check out Steve on Twitter at Fezzik Sports and over at pregame.com. Love those of you that download this on multiple devices or spread the word to your message boards, social media, whatever. Good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money on the Pro Bowl or whatever you're betting this week. Senior Bowl, I don't care. Good luck.
Thanks for listening to the Even Money Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Fantasy Feast Podcast, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.